Welcome and thank you for joining us for Hoosier Ag This Week, a special edition this week on the road at the Indiana State Fairgrounds for the Great Indiana State Fair. It kicked off on Friday, lasting throughout the weekend. It's running until the 17th. It'll be closed on Mondays, but we'll be around otherwise bringing you all of the news and information from the Indiana State Fair and other news as well. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Thank you for joining us this weekend. So much going on at the fair. I'm standing right in front of the big top here, the circus event that they're going to have here throughout the fair. There are all sorts of things to take in and come and enjoy. What I want to make sure we don't lose sight of is that this is a big event for the kids and for 4-H students across the state. And to help me kind of convey that message here today is Casey Mull. He's with Purdue Extension and the 4-H program leader. And Casey, this whole thing, this whole 17 days of summer, the best 17 days, it really is about the kids and about the 4-H kids.
Yes, sir, Eric. It is about the 191,000 4-H'ers that we have across the state. This is the big top. This is the biggest celebration of the year, of their achievements, of their accomplishments that they've had through their learning through their 4-H programming that occurs throughout the year.
And that 4-H programming can vary. It's different for everyone. We've obviously got the livestock shows, and those are big. We'll be at the Grand Drive Sunday night, and we'll bring video of that so folks can kind of see everything that's going on. But it's more than just that, too.
It is more than just that. While we celebrate every project, we started last night with the llama costume contest. We have young people that will be giving public demonstrations and illustrated talks beginning this weekend. Whether it is youngest 4-H'er in the third grade, they may be accomplishing standing up in front of a group of their peers to give a demonstration for the first time, or whether it's that young person that is in their 10th year of 4-H and has a championship animal on the dirt on Sunday night. We're going to be celebrating all of them throughout the fair.
Again, with Casey Mull here on the weekend show. And Casey, I guess let's just talk about 4-H on the whole. I think that, you know, some of the things that are happening are tremendous. Earlier this summer, we kind of celebrated a big event, the Beyond Ready event for 4-H. And that's really what it's all about, this 4-H program and getting them beyond ready for whatever comes next, whether that's coming to Purdue or joining the workforce, joining the military. It's about getting them ready and prepared.
Beyond Ready is about equipping the next generation for what is going to face them in work and in life. We currently have about 6 million youth involved in the 4-H program nationwide, and by 2030, we want 10 million young people that are beyond ready to take on whatever is going to be facing them and facing our country and our communities across the world.
And it's not just for kids who are out in the country, right? The 4-H is for everyone. It's a leadership program. It's a skills program. It's for any kid out there that wants to be a part of something.
4-H is for everyone, whether you grow up in Marion County or whether you grow up in Warrick County and everywhere in between. 4-H has something where a young person can identify their spark, what they're interested in, what they're passionate about. They can learn about that topic and share that joy with others.
And I imagine a lot of this week you'll be spending with some of those projects and with those 4-H'ers. Where can folks find all of the 4-H things here at the State Fair? Because they're kind of all over the place.
They are throughout the entire fairgrounds. While we have our static projects in the 4-H complex and Centennial Hall and the 4-H Exhibit Hall on the south side of the fairgrounds, in every barn are 4-H walking or animal projects, but then also Purdue Extension and our larger organization. This fair could not occur without the work of all of our Purdue Extension educators and staff members. I encourage folks to also stop by the Purdue Extension building to learn how adults can be involved in some of the same type of learning that 4-H'ers engage in throughout the year.
Casey, thank you so much for joining us on Hoosier Ag this week, and have a tremendous fair.
Thank you so much, Eric. We look forward to seeing everyone here over the next 17 days while we're closed on Monday.
Again, that's Casey Mull, Indiana 4-H program leader. And so much going on here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. We'll have much more from the fair coming up a little bit later on in the show. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is on the way. But right now, let's send it from the fairgrounds back to Hat Studio 2A in Lafayette. Andy Eubank is there with the markets. Andy?
Thanks, Eric. Sounds like a good time at the Indiana State Fair. Not such a good time in the markets. Corn and beans back and forth throughout the session. Quiet overall and a mixed close. All the numbers coming up. First market analysis, I grabbed that from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I spoke with him in the middle of trade. Some consolidation, it appears, as we head into the weekend. And the markets are mixed, quietly lower in corn and beans back and forth. Brian, anything particularly that's impacting markets going into the weekend?
Thanks for having me, Andy. We're really seeing a continued good weather environment, for lack of a better phrase, for corn here. As we're way past the midpoint of pollination, we're probably in the last 15 to 20% now nationwide. Post-pollination, though, is an important time for corn, and we're getting some mild temperatures moving in here. Ample rain this past week for a number of areas, which is nearly ideal, and that the corn market is trying to factor in now the size of this corn crop for 2025 here. And we're looking at some new contract lows were made this past week, looking at sub $3.90 for September futures, and December corn went below 410, not quite a new contract low, but right down near those lows. So just a supply-driven market, Andy. Also in Brazil, looking at a large crop down there. Maybe producers aren't actively selling that crop yet, which has given us some good export sales here in the U.S. But for the most part, we're still going to look at a large crop in Brazil and eventually some competition down the road. And so we're just looking at a supply-heavy market in corn right now, Andy, waiting to see if there's any trade deals that may be struck for beans. The big variable in beans is the lack of a trade deal for China. We did see some contract lows made this week in old crop beans for August and September, for example. We just don't have any big demand push at the moment. If you really remove China from the equation this fall, then you're looking at a much different balance sheet for beans. But we'll see. There's plenty of time yet to get a deal. But we're only 30 days away from the new crop year. So I would say, Andy, overall, it's just a supply-driven market as we move into a critical month here for beans, pod set and pod fill.
Market commentary from economist Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, September corn lost 4.5 cents, 389.5. December, 410.75, down 3. March contract, 2.25, lower at 428.25. Soybeans, August, September, November, all unchanged. SEP stays at 969.5, Novi 989.25. January contract up 0.25 cents at 1007.75. And wheat a little lower, September 516.75, down 6.5. December 537, that was 1.5 cents lower. The protein sector went higher. August live cattle, $230.12, up $2.35. And August lean hogs, $107.35, up 22 cents. Plenty more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
We do amazing things, but only 1.5% of the population's on a farm. And unfortunately, the people that are typically out there farming would prefer to work with the land and their animals than human beings, right? So when you look at opportunities around telling agriculture's story, it's about those personal conversations. And it's not just the farmers. I would hold every person who has a vested interest in agriculture, whether you're an agribusiness or whether you're a dietitian, to be able to share the farm and food story more effectively. And I know somebody who's watching may say, well, I've never been on a farm. I can't really speak to that. Well, perhaps not, but you've been in a laboratory and you've created an incredible product. Tell the story of that on a personal level.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
A spectacular start to August is underway. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. And we're going to be diving into a temperature profile that looks nothing like what we had here over the past several weeks. We saw much cooler, less humid air come in over the Hoosier State yesterday behind moisture that finally exited the state on Thursday, and that reset the weather chart dramatically, and we're going to follow through on that today and tomorrow. Low dew points in the mid-50s, temperatures that are quite comfortable for this time of year, normal to a bit below normal, but no one's complaining because the humidity looks spectacular. Even as we get into this upcoming week, Monday and Tuesday, while temperatures climb, we are not seeing any significant move in humidity in most parts of the state. Now, if I'm going to play devil's advocate and point to where things could go wrong, I'm watching a little bit of moisture try and come out of the southeastern United States and move counter to what we normally see, but kind of backing into the Tennessee Valley, Kentucky, and places like that. We may see some clouds in southern Indiana on Monday, and I won't rule out a few pop-up scattered showers getting in close to the Ohio River, south and southwest Indiana for Monday. Well, and even into Tuesday. This may elevate humidity levels a little bit down in those parts of the state, but we're still dealing with the dry Great Lakes air mass farther north. Everybody gets into that humidity as we move from Wednesday through Friday. But once again, we are not seeing any major precipitation threats the second half of the week either. So it's just that moisture backing through the deep south that may give a pop-up shower in southern parts of the state Monday, Tuesday. Northern areas are dry. As a matter of fact, in northern Indiana and east to central Indiana, well, anywhere that doesn't get that pop-up shower on Monday afternoon or Tuesday, we are going to be putting together almost 10 days of completely dry weather because we didn't see anything yesterday. We're seeing nothing for this weekend, and I don't think we have a significant round of moisture coming in now until a front shows up overnight this Saturday night into Sunday. That's where we can pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch with good coverage across the Hoosier State, about 80%. So a nice stretch of dry weather allows us to use some of the moisture that we got, but also it's going to set us up to see another round of claims that we could use a rain, and that's what we're going to be looking at late in the week. Now, behind that weather system, I think we see clouds gradually break up next Monday. We are sunny and dry for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, even Friday. I think we see high humidity to start that week, but the humidity values drop as the week goes on. So we could be shifting into a pattern where we're left wanting on moisture a little bit over this first 2 week period of August. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. And after USDA announced it was moving many of its staff out of Washington, D.C. and into Indianapolis and four other regional hub locations, USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden appeared before the Senate Ag Committee Wednesday to answer questions about the reorganization, including why members of Congress weren't notified ahead of time about the move.
The employees are the ones who are most directly affected by the secretary's decision. Out of common courtesy and respect, they should hear that decision from the secretary first and not from a leak that originates from somewhere else.
During the hearing, Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, who is also ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, referred to USDA's reorganization plan as half-baked.
Do you think that these actions are actually going to make us more competitive when it comes to ag, more competitive when we are dealing with research issues across the world? And how will you ensure that critical research projects will not suffer?
Absolutely I do, because on a government salary, government employees cannot afford to start a quality life in Washington, D.C., but they most certainly can in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Klobuchar expressed her anger at Vaden when reacting to USDA's reorganization plan.
I did not vote for you, Mr. Deputy Secretary, but I did think that you would go in, based on your experience, and be able to do things that would actually help rural America. And I actually took you at your word when you had pledged to work with us on things that would help. That's not what happened here when we had absolutely no notice of what you were going to do.
USDA plans to move 2,600 employees out of D.C. and into 5 regional hub locations, including Indianapolis. The 4 other hub sites will be in Kansas City, Salt Lake City, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Fort Collins, Colorado. Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, speaking of Indianapolis, it was during a visit to Indy on Tuesday that EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced that the Trump administration plans to eliminate regulations regarding motor vehicle and engine emissions.
As it relates to greenhouse gas emission standards on light duty, medium duty, and heavy duty, it doesn't reset anything. It eliminates everything.
And that was Zeldin speaking from a truck dealership in Indianapolis Tuesday afternoon. If finalized, the proposal would repeal the Biden administration's electric vehicle mandate. It would also repeal all resulting greenhouse gas emissions regulations for vehicles and engines all across the U.S. Those regulations were part of something known as the 2009 Endangerment Finding, and that was a ruling that said the greenhouse gas emissions were a threat to public health. That led to climate regulations during the Obama administration under the Clean Air Act.
This proposed rule is a proposal to eliminate the endangerment finding, to eliminate greenhouse gas standards, all the regulations that came out, including the electric vehicle mandates.
Zeldin said those greenhouse gas standards have been used to justify over $1 trillion in regulations and fines. He added that you'll get a chance to weigh in on the proposed deregulations, saying the EPA will hold a period of public comment. You can read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. And if you're a student who is interested in serving as a farm missionary and sharing the Christian ministry with those around the world, then you'll want to check out the new International Agriculture Program at Huntington University.
People are hungry physically and spiritually these days, and what a great opportunity just to walk in that.
And that's Dr. Jessica Graves, who's an adjunct professor at Huntington University. They're offering an exciting new certificate in international agriculture, as well as a master's in business administration with a concentration in international agriculture.
It's unique in that it is a faith-based program centered around agricultural topics. And more uniquely, it's offered fully online. So students, no matter where they are around the world, have the flexibility, and each class is 7 weeks in length.
She says students will not only learn how to teach others around the world to increase their food supply, but also use that opportunity to teach those in need about the gospel of Christ.
Students are learning real life concepts, look at it through that poverty alleviation lens. Using agriculture as the vehicle is just, it's very rewarding, but it's also fun to see that agriculture can make such a difference in the world, both physically and spiritually.
In fact, Dr. Graves and a group of ag students from Huntington University recently returned from a mission trip to Guatemala to put their farm knowledge and those practices from the program into place.
We worked with some women in one of the rural communities there, and this particular student was able to share her knowledge of sheep care and management. We taught hoof trimming techniques, and just to see the women there in the community embrace this new knowledge in a way that I know the long-term impacts that it's going to have for livestock production there.
Learn more about Huntington University's new International Agriculture Program at Huntington.edu. You can also read more at HoosierAgToday.com. At HoosierAgToday.com. We'll check in once again with Eric Pfeiffer out of the Indiana State Fair here in just a few. The fair kicked off early Friday morning, and I was out there and had the chance to chat with your 2025 Miss Indiana State Fair Queen, Pilar Bravo. She's from Marion County, and I had the chance to ask her what she was looking forward to most while serving as this year's fair queen.
That is such a good question. Honestly, I can go in different routes. You know, I love the food. I love, obviously, the animals and the 4-H projects, but there's also a lot of cool things happening here. We have the wolves that are coming in, and then we also have the circus, which is new, the mullet competition. I've always loved watching that while I've been here. I can go anyway, seriously.
I understand that you have a passion for showing horses, and so you have to be excited about all the horse shows here at the Indiana State Fair as well.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for the draft show and the hitches. I'm really excited about that one. My sister is actually showing my horse currently as we speak. She just took first place, which I'm really proud of her. It's a little bit different being on the other side of things and not showing my horse this year, but it's something exciting, and I'm really happy to support my sister.
For folks who have never been to the Indiana State Fair, what advice would you give them in terms of this is why you've got to come?
Every part of the state fair has something for everybody. It's truly unique, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And definitely to get out here and obviously stay hydrated because it does get hot, but we do have AC buildings. So.
And you can find my full video interview with Miss Indiana State Fair, Pilar Bravo. You can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on X, or what used to be Twitter, at Hoosier Ag Today. If you would like to see that video of my conversation with Pilar Bravo, this year's Indiana State Fair Queen. Eric Pfeiffer has more from the Indiana State Fairgrounds and Event Center coming your way next, so don't you dare go anywhere. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She works two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed. In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. Hoosier Ag Today and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting invite you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. We're here at the Indiana State Fair, and we find ourselves over here by all the livestock. And thank goodness we did, because that's where all the food is, too. At least all the good food, anyway. Eric Pfeiffer here from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm with Brian Shooter with the Indiana Beef Cattle Association. And, Brian, let's just talk about all of the excitement around here. We're here at the cattle barn. We've got some ribeyes out there that you know I'll be enjoying here, not just today, but throughout the fair. What all's going on? What's the excitement like around here?
Well, we're happy to kick off the state fair this year. Looking for some beautiful weather this weekend. Expecting big crowds to come out. We've got our standby, our Hoosier ribeye for sale here just outside the cattle barn, our Cattlemen's Club stand. So the Hoosier ribeye is our flagship sandwich. We also have what we call our Hoosier Cowboy sandwich, which is a perfectly grilled ribeye stuck between two pieces of pepper jack cheese on grilled sourdough. We debuted it last year. It worked so well, we're bringing it back again this year. We also are trying a new item, a steak on a stick. A small, quick, easy bite. Everybody seems to want to eat something on a stick here at the fair, so we figured we might as well take advantage of that too and join that club. So those are our hot menu items out in the stand, and we encourage everybody to come by and get them a fresh grilled ribeye.
You didn't deep fry the steak? You didn't do that this time around? Put it on a stick?
No, I know beef tallow is the rage right now, but we're pretty partial to our grill. We do have a Blackstone griddle top that we use for our grilled or the grilled cowboy, and use that, but nothing beats a good fresh hot ribeye off a fresh hot grill.
Folks that you work with and represent at the Indiana Beef Cattle Association, a lot of them in this barn here kind of getting ready for the shows and everything else. I imagine that's what you're getting ready for here too. Just again, talk about the excitement and what goes into trying to make it to the dirt out here for some of these kids.
The cattle barn is currently full with all of our 4-H beef exhibitors. Heifer and steer exhibitors are here. I believe they've had close to 600 kids in the showmanship contest, 4-H heifer and 4-H steer shows. And then Sunday night culminates with the grand drive. That's kind of the greatest show on dirt that all the kids are buying to get into. Really, they've been working towards getting to that dirt since last year at this time. Many of them, when they go home from the fair, they start looking for next year's projects, get them in the barn, and it's a year-long process. If you want to make it to that hallowed dirt, it takes a lot of commitment.
All right, last question. I've asked you this before about what's your favorite. Is it the Hoosier ribeye? Do you go with the old standby?
I eat my share of the classic Hoosier ribeye. I'm pretty partial to the cowboy as well. So there's something about that pepper jack cheese on that sourdough. It's a perfect combination between dairy and beef. And we partnered with dairy when we rolled that out. The American Dairy Association of Indiana partnered with them. And the hot dog that we've got is an amazing hot dog that's made by Daywig Meats down at Evansville, Indiana. So it's an Indiana-made product. I think it's one of the best hot dogs you'll find anywhere. You can't go wrong with anything on our menu.
And, you know, you are right here next to the pork tent, but I should let people know this doesn't have to be an either or. You don't have to choose between the two. Come support both at the same time.
The weather this weekend is perfect for you to eat your way around the fairgrounds. That's what we're hoping. Everyone just grazes their way down Main Street. Don't forget to hit us. Hit our friends across the street at their dairy bar for that milkshake to melt and fill in all the cracks. We're excited to be a part of the Barnyard and happy to be out here with our partners representing agriculture to all these fairgoers.
Brian, thank you so much and enjoy the fair.
Thanks, Eric.
And we are here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds and a lot of great things happening. Some great things happening for us too at Hoosier Ag today. We are unbelievably excited to welcome a new member to our team. He's no stranger to the fairgrounds. He's been here for many, many years in a different capacity. I'll let him share that. But Greg Allen joins us. And Greg, thank you. One, we're so excited to have you. You started earlier this week. What a week to get started.
Oh, you're not kidding. In fact, I keep telling everybody that I've jumped into Hoosier Ag today with both feet in the deep end, because this is probably the biggest week of the year for you guys, I'm assuming.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. We've got so much going on. And you do have experience at this show, in particular with the Grand Drive that we were just speaking about with Brian. And, you know, we've got another big time coming Sunday night.
You know, I was just saying earlier today that my time that I've been out here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds, which has been over the past 10, 12 years, has been on the livestock side only, and not on the would be the north side of the field. I've never been over there in all my years, and so today was my first time over there, because I used to be with Walton Webcasting, and of course we would do all the livestock shows, and so I was always in the livestock barns and the Coliseum for the Grand Drive, the Supreme Drive. Never made my way over there, and I got to today, and wow, talk about the other side of the tracks.
Greg, you'll hear him across our network Monday through Friday. You'll hear him on the weekend shows as well. He's bringing a lot of video to the network, and we're really excited about a new project that we're announcing here during the fair, and that is the new Purdue Extension Podcast Network. Greg will be hosting a couple of different podcasts, one about 4-H in particular. This is going to be a great opportunity for us and for Purdue Extension. We're excited about that. For more details, be sure to check out HoosierAgToday.com here in the coming days and weeks. We'll have more information on that. That does it for this weekend's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you at the fair. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.